Podcast. Welcome to the Queer Arabs Podcast. This is Alia.
And Ellie.
And we are the Queer Arabs. I'm half Saudi and a full lesbian.
I am bi trans Lebanese, and we are broadcasting here in New York City
at the Flux Factory.
Flux Factory, yes.
Yes, we're at an event called Mark for Redaction. If people follow Flux Factory, like, you can see a little bit more about it. And yeah, we'll post where you can see more about what it's about. There's a website for Mark for Redaction. It's really cool to be here. It's a gallery, very well curated exhibit with, like, featuring various Swana artists, and we're super excited to be here. It's visual art, painting, like, there are various mediums, and then there's also going to be films, and we're gonna come back tomorrow for a musical performance by Flower Punk.
Ooh.
Which we'll talk about later.
By the way, what's your favorite piece so far, darling?
I don't think I am able to pick a favorite. I love everything I've seen. There's one that's on leather. It's a self-portrait on leather that's really absolutely gorgeous. And then also there's one of our past guests, Caitlin, has a piece here. It's the Coptic Babe, Coptic Dyke piece, and there's so much happening. It's just an incredible spread of various thoughts that she's had, various moods, and and we'll be posting more, like, some pictures of it and stuff like that. So, Ellie, what do you think about the event so far?
It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of cool people, obviously. My favorite pieces so far is, well, to my right, we're recording in the Habibi room.
The Habibi room.
Uh-huh. And it's this really cool, like, sit-down area with a whole bunch of cushions, like, tables. There's a Polaroid camera.
Yeah.
But at the very back and to the right from the back of the room, there is this picture series. I want to say it's a picture series of two people in fursuits looking like Tom and Jerry doing the Muslim prayer. And it's really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
The other one I liked is, I'm probably going to screw up the name. It's the Making a Sage. What's it called?
Seasoned Salad.
Where it's this really cool pencil sketch of this man making a salad, however, is angled, like, with all these phallic vegetables, and it looks like he's cutting his penis. It could be his penis. Yeah, it's... I don't think we've seen said
it
penis.
It's a carrot.
It's a carrot.
Oh, it's a carrot.
But it looks like
it's
a penis.
It's placed so that it looks like a penis. It's a really cool piece. It's in pencil. There's a lot that I still have to take in. I haven't looked at every single thing. Yeah, the Habibi room is, like, designed to look like a living room in Lebanon. It's just so inviting.
This is like one backgammon board short of my uncle's house, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And then, like, there's a camera. People can take Polaroid pictures of themselves or whatever and leave it in the Habibi room just as a memory. So, yeah.
Here. Let's pause this. All right, there we go.
Okay.
That looks right.
So we have one of the artists here. Can you introduce yourself and tell us what you're doing at Mark for Redaction, like, what pieces you're showing?
Yes, hi. Thank you for having me. So my name is Ra'ed Rafai. I'm a Lebanese filmmaker. Currently, I live in Santa Cruz. I'm doing a PhD in film and digital media at UC Santa Cruz. And for Mark for Redaction, I'm showing three of my films, two tonight and one tomorrow, and I'm talking about my work. So the films are Salam, which is a short film. It's a collaboration with a feminist Syrian organization. And then I'm showing Here I Am, Here You Are, which is a personal queer essay documentary. And tomorrow I'm showing a film that I made with my sister, who's also a filmmaker. So it's a work that's co-written, co-produced between the two of us. And it's called 74, The Reconstruction of a Struggle. And it's about the occupation of the American University of Beirut in 1974 by the students.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that's it in a nutshell.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. So that one's tomorrow?
74? Yes.
74? Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm a little starstruck.
Yeah, this is also amazing.
Also, for context, he's rather handsome. Just
thank you.
So, in coming here, like, aside from your own pieces, what's your favorite piece so far?
I think I'm really overwhelmed by a lot of
that's how
pieces.
I feel.
I cannot get over the, there's a series of drawings, I'm sorry, a series of drawings of a person who's cutting his penis
yes.
and then peeling it and, how do you call that in English?
Like shredding it.
Shredding it with a shredder.
That one
which,
stuck out to us.
Yes, so it's this one is really, I keep on thinking about it.
It's really intense.
It is very intense because it's very violent, but at the same time,
it's
these
so
are,
casual.
It's, these are like casual domestic activities.
Items. Yeah, exactly.
Really speaks to my occasional gender dysphoria, so yeah. So in coming here, how you found it so far? What's the vibe for you?
I think I feel there's a sense of home, being home.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I think I've been in the U.S., back in the U.S., because I lived in New York for 2 years, and then I went back to Beirut. And being back now, I'm here for a year. I never thought that I would be this kind of person, but I'm always very nostalgic for... any aspect of something that spells Arab culture, so this is making me feel closer to home.
I guess. For me, I've always been really disconnected from my Arab identity just because growing up in America, blah, 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 refer to previous episodes. Anyway, but whenever I come to these queer spaces like this and Yellow Punk, I always feel like I feel home for the first time, you know?
Yeah, like that's these cool. queer-friendly MENA spaces are so powerful every time because it's kind of still a novelty to me because I haven't found that until recently. So like with Yalla Punk and this and I think like we all need this so badly.
Yeah. So. I mean, I met Hilal. I lived in New York between 2011 and 2013. And I remember in the beginning I was just very intimidated by the city. I mean, I loved it, but it's a city that overwhelms you, intimidates you. And then I met Hilal through the Arab Queer Collective, and the Arab Queer Collective was sort of a family for me. But it also, as someone who was born and raised in the Arab region, it was a very interesting insight into what Arab Americans go through, like, and queer Arab Americans.
There's like some similarities but some just like totally different incomparable experiences. I know,
absolutely.
It's like you feel in coming here, I guess you would feel one step removed from their culture and then you feel another step removed because oh hey, you're queer.
And you always feel like you're kind of in limbo. You don't know exactly where you fit in
and
to society.
And you have to wonder, does my reputation as a queer person precede me in this community? Am I going to be rejected because of that? Or, you know, because...
And there's this balance that you have to find where, like, if you live in the U.S., but then all your family, like, in my case, like, your family's all in the Middle East, and you think, okay, my actions, how are my actions going to affect them? Like, are they going to take the fall for, like, my stuff? So I think that's another thing I always have to keep in mind. Like
what is everyone back home going to think?
Yeah. Like, I want to talk a lot about, like, the Khashoggi thing. I have to find the balance. How much can I do and how much can I talk about without, like, affecting people in my family who are still there?
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel that sometimes, like, with what you do. With this podcast and stuff.
There are certain family members who would probably face some backlash if they were connected, like if my name was connected with theirs and the queer Arab stuff came up, just because one of my aunts works very closely with the Saudi government and that's kind of a problem, you know?
I don't want to stay silent, but I also don't want to like put anyone else in danger when I know like I wouldn't be
I don't want to ruin.
Really in danger.
It's like I don't want to be like ruining some of my family members' careers just by being out and queer.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely can identify with that, and that's why it was very hard for me to make my second film. Because my parents don't know that I'm gay, actually.
Oh, wow. Is that what the film is about?
Partially. It's about basically navigating the Western queer politics, which are, as an outsider, so as someone from the global South, has a Lebanese passport, and how do you really relate to those ideals and the politics of those ideals? And I think it's really complex. So I'm still thinking about
like the
it.
Concept of coming out is
the concept
so different.
Of coming out,
and like there's so much weight put on it here. I think like people there's a lot of like not understanding those who can't come out or.
Who choose also not to
come out. Choose not to, which is their right. Like, everyone has the right to not come out. But, like, I think there's a lot of pressure from the larger queer community. We all have to come out. Otherwise, no progress. Yeah. Or whatever, so.
I just want
to...
So, yeah.
It's kind of a running issue. It's like a lot of times we sometimes trash coming out on this podcast as being sort of this Western thing that's... That is somewhat dangerous just because of our larger extended families and all the government stuff back home and just all the mess that entails. But on the other hand, it paves the way for the next generation, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't have answers to that. And I think I just have, I think I just learned to be, have more humility when it comes to that. And I think when I made my second feature film, maybe I had intended to come out, and then I decided not to at the same time I made the film, so there's always the risk that my parents would know.
That's how it is with this podcast. We're like, well, people could figure it out, but we're not going to, like, hand it to them. Hey, I have this podcast.
But I just... Yeah, absolutely. And then I think, for me, it's also being very much aware of all, like, the ties and bonds that are exist between within a community and between people, and that can be completely damaged by the act of coming out. So I think, well, maybe we can imagine different forms of coming out that are not necessarily performative in the same way that they are in the West. But at the same time, I agree with Ellie that. Are you also maybe paving the way for other generations? At the same time, the danger is always to become sucked into the...
Basically, drop a drama bomb that never stops, you know?
Someday, hopefully, like, we won't have to come out. Like, it won't be like, oh, we're different, so we have to say this... have this big moment, like, I'm gay.
But it's also, like, really linked to identitarian politics, and it's linked to a much larger context of universalization of of behavior and of rights and of attitudes, so... Terry!
Hi. I'm going to pause it.
Good to see you.
Oh my god, guess who just walked in?
I don't know, who did?
Who did? Guess from The Voice, everyone.
Hey, it's Nadia.
You're right, it's Nadia. So the weirdest thing happened. We were sitting in the Habibi room that we were just talking about with all the Polaroid photos, and I said, oh my god, look who I found. And I found Nadia's picture, and then Nadia walked in. And so it was like an inception. Made her... hold her photo.
You manifested it.
Like, made Nadia hold her photo so I could, like, look at Nadia holding her photo. So, welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Talking on here again. So, what do you think of Mark for Redaction so far? Talk about what you did here before.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
So this is an amazing space. Yeah. I need to talk closer to the mic.
Yeah.
This is an amazing space. I've come here a few times so far. The first time I was actually here by myself because I accidentally came to the gallery at the wrong time. But that was a really incredible, intimate experience in itself.
Yeah.
This whole exhibit just feels very intimate in different ways. Like, there's clearly some, like, very physically intimate stuff. Caitlin's mm-hmm. piece feels like just, like, a thought dump of the inside of her head. And then just, like, chilling here in the Habibi room, it feels like a home.
Yeah.
It really feels very homey.
It really does.
And is kind of, made me feel like home in ways I didn't really think were possible.
A very warm gay home.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just such an amazing environment.
That actually makes me feel like I'm at a family space.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I came to the space a few times just to check it out. I also ended up unexpectedly dancing here. Mirza, who was performing here last weekend, basically like posted on Instagram that they're going to be performing, and I was like, hey, I'll be at the show. And they're like, do you want to come hang out at Flux? I'm here all weekend. I'm like, sure, I'm not doing anything on Saturday. So we're hanging out here. We decide we should collab at some point. We decide we should collab the next day.
NBD.
Yeah, and then some equipment breaks and we never rehearse, but we make dinner and that was really fun. And then I just kind of improv the show, but it was really wonderful because sometimes, I don't know, like dancing is one way that I really connect to spaces. Sometimes moving is an easier way for me to connect than talking. Talking is kind of weird for me. I talked about that last time I was on this podcast. I don't think I've done as much recorded talking as I have on this podcast. It was a really incredible way to connect to the space, connect to the people here.
Awesome.
I think that's something I've really been looking for, especially in my dance work lately, to find spaces and projects that I really feel committed and connected to.
Yeah.
And that was just a really wonderful way that kind of synced up.
Yeah. And you can see Nadia, like clips of Nadia dancing on Instagram, like Nadia in her own world. Is the handle
in her own world? Yeah,
yeah,
I don't know if I don't know where the clips of that performance.
We'll link stuff.
Yeah, there. I mean not from here, but like
they exist.
Like
I don't know where they are. Yeah,
in general, like clips of Nadia dancing. Yeah. And it's really mesmerizing to watch.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, what's your favorite piece here so far?
Yeah, if you've been able to pick one out.
Like, I feel like different ones for different reasons. I just love this room as a thing. The film room, I don't know who did it, is really, like, fast. I don't know. I think it's, like, fascinating in the way it, like, makes the political, like, very personal, like, down to the skin level. So I thought that aspect of it was...
Oh, I still need to check that out.
Oh, yeah. It's cool. It's really haunting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I love Caitlin's thought dump. I connected to that a lot. Just, like, anything that's running through her brain. Yeah, there's a lot of things.
I love it so much.
I think sort of the best part of this so far is just being able to connect to, like, the people around here and have conversations. Like, the group of loud queer women conversation we had the other night.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. We had a hangout yesterday where I think I laughed for about 2 hours straight without stopping. And it was amazing.
Yeah, we like proposed various bad performance art projects.
Complained about white hummus.
Yeah. Complained about all these weird quote hummus.
Wait, but I think I thought about it, and then I thought, like, what if I am the pumpkin spice hummus.
God, why would... Oh my God, is that like symbolic of the diaspora?
Yeah.
Like Arabs?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
shit.
And what if I hate myself for
Oh my
it?
God, maybe this is what's going on. Maybe it's like all self-hate that we have. Because we were just trash-talking like anything that wasn't just plain hummus. It was like, oh, you added the jalapenos. You suck. You added dessert hummus. You should die. Maybe we're telling ourselves that.
Yeah.
Shit. That was really, that was like mind-blowing just now. Oh, shit. Because Ellie and I were just complaining about how we don't speak Arabic and like disconnected we have been for a long time in our lives from Arab stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe maybe same. That is what's
I
going on.
I think I am the pumpkin spice.
We are the jalapeno hummus.
Shit.
What
do we do?
I think I'm the pumpkin.
The pumpkin.
You think
spice.
You're the jalapeno?
Yeah. Ellie's into savory stuff,
okay.
So it makes sense.
I'm just really basic.
I guess I'm the white bean hummus. Because I'm not even full Arab. I'm only half Saudi.
We're also doing a piece where we, like, give liver to people. It's called, like...
Oh, yeah! Where we, like, hand...
Like, livers of life.
Livers of life. And we hand liver to people. Because we had this really good liver dish yesterday. And that inspired it.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
On that note, let's take a short pause. All right, so we're on day two for us at Mark for Redaction. And we're going to be here, like, all evening. So we'll see where this goes. This will probably end up being two episodes. I guess by the time it comes out, everyone will know. But we don't currently know. And... We are super...
But I just tweeted we're going to do two episodes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess we have to now.
Yes.
That'd be awkward if we didn't.
Or else our boss will be totally mad at us.
Yes. We'll be mad at ourselves. So...
You know, I was just thinking, like, the true tragedy of all, like, doing a podcast on this is we, like, while there's all this cool art stuff right here, the real draw of this is just the people and just hanging out. We've had some of, like, the best conversations ever.
Why is that a tragedy?
Well, I mean, because it's not, because these are not, like, formal open events. Like, we can't invite everyone to the dinner we had over at that one restaurant on
Friday. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, we had this great conversation. We basically came up a word for a group of loud queer Arab women.
Yeah.
And
okay, I see what you mean. It's like Mark for Redaction is like the center of a lot of other things that are happening because of it that we're experiencing. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got you. Like we're having all these other hangouts that wouldn't have happened otherwise.
Yeah.
I love it. I love when art brings people together and like art that celebrates a specific demographic is really needed sometimes because like we need a space need to relate to people.
I also love it because this is like an art house thing. It's a small audience. It's pretty specific. There's really no profit motive here, so like anyone who's here trying to sell themselves or network, you know,
yeah, it's not about that.
It's they're clearly wasting their time, so those people just don't show up. So you come up with all these really cool, really genuine people.
For example,
hi. Sorry. I was interviewed earlier a long time ago. Five episodes ago.
Yeah, like, it was the end of August, right? It was the end of August.
It was end of August, but like is it 1, 2, 3?
It's
four,
every
English?
Week for us. Every week.
That's what
for
I'm saying, like
English.
Do we count English ones only or do we say like eight episodes ago?
Oh yeah, wait, actually I don't know.
Right.
Okay. It was
a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. It was like 2 months ago.
Yes.
We'll go with that. And they're back. I'm so excited because I was zoned out and I looked up and their face was right there. And
I was holding a pose for 2 minutes. I was like, are you going to make me hold this pose forever? And then Ellie looked at me and was like, well, you could just come in. True, but I wanted to be dramatic.
Dramatic. Oh, man. Okay, so tell us so you've been here before. Tell us like what you've noticed has changed. Do you feel like this is familiar, still familiar, or is this a new experience?
I mean, it's definitely a new I feel like it's a new experience every time, like, you walk into an art gallery, even if everything kind of has remained the same. But here, definitely, like, there have been physical changes, like, with the makeup of the room, the art moving across the walls, things like that.
Yeah.
Pieces shifting because new pieces have been added to the walls because we heard that some were held up in customs.
Thanks, Saudi.
But
Hashtag thanks, Saudi. I actually don't know what Saudi has to do with it, but I'm sure it's shitty. I don't know if some of the pieces came from there.
I think that's
or...
where some of the pieces were coming from, some of the artwork.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, so obviously the main difference is the big screen that's like hanging out in the middle of the room with all the chairs around it. So that wasn't here last time.
Right.
Because the
film showing
is... Yeah, so we're having film screenings, so it's a specific... that wasn't here. I'm so excited that you're here. I know not everyone was at Yalapunk, but it feels like a mini Yalapunk again because it's the Yalapunk is an idea or a concept. It's not just a festival. It's kind of the feeling of this this group.
It's definitely a queer Arab space. I'm holding hands with my girlfriend.
Queer Swana.
Queer Swana.
I think
Arab supremacy.
I
do the same mistake all the time.
I do it too. I'm
or,
trying
like,
to get away from
Arabs
it.
Arabs are Muslim, and like that really bothers people because I'm just like, oh.
How could you?
I know. I'm like I'm so excited for another queer Muslim hangout, and people are like, why would you say Muslim? We're Swana folks, and I was like, oh yeah, my Coptic Christian bays and all of them.
I know. Sometimes I'm trying. I'm trying to get away from the word Arab, but it is so ingrained in my head.
Yeah.
Like, I guess.
I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Just practicing on reframing is a chore, but...
It is.
Unlearning is a process.
It is.
You cannot become a better person without unlearning your shitty, toxic processes.
That you had learned when you were...
Yeah.
Brought into this world.
Like, later we're going to talk to Hilal about what his first impression of us was, and...
That sounds fun.
And...
I don't think he remembers me. He's done this here before. There's just
I
a tone of, like, surprise in his voice.
Really?
Mouth.
He was like, oh, how are you doing?
Okay, I hope so. I just feel like I'm a very forgettable person.
No, you're not.
So I just want to, I like to...
You're too cute to be forgettable.
I think I'm trash, but I don't want anyone else to think that about themselves.
We're like the special trash.
Yeah,
like
we're...
the glittery trash.
The glittery trash.
The Lisa Frank of trash.
Oh my god, the Lisa Frank of trash. The other day... we were saying that Ellie is the recycling, I'm the trash, Nadia's the compost.
And I'm the raccoon.
The raccoon, yeah.
Mr. Slinky. We had a raccoon near my apartment back when I was living in Northwest DC.
Yeah.
And I called him Mr. Slinky, and I would go visit him when I was throwing out the trash. He just hung out in our
trash. Did he move like a Slinky?
Because
he
I
was
just,
like...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's how all raccoons move, honestly.
Yeah, they kind of do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I named him that, and he was my son. And I still miss him.
Aww.
Because I no longer am in Northwest. I'm in Northeast now. So I always wonder how he's doing.
When you either figuratively or literally birth another creature, there's a connection.
You always wonder where what they're up to.
Yeah.
They're thinking of you.
Birthing my cat, really. Bonded us, you know.
100%.
But, I mean, the thing about that bothered me about Ellie saying she's recycling is that it implies she's being used over and over. So there's a lot of symbolism in that. Trash, it's kind of like, okay, you're done.
It could be transformative because you take plastic and you turn it into something new, and then you turn it into something new, and then you turn it into something new.
That's true.
Positive spin, I don't know.
I like that. No, I like that. Because we
got
dark about it.
That may have not been where you were going with it, but...
No, we got dark about it, but I think there's another thing where sometimes recycling is, like, made into something quite permanent.
Yeah.
And then kept.
Yeah.
That sounds bad, too, like you're kept. Okay, whatever.
And that was our 2-minute digression in how we're such trash.
And then Nadia was like, oh, I'm compost. And then we got sad because compost is always kept in a different area than... recycling and trash, and then we realized, well, she lives in New York and we live in Houston, so it is a good metaphor where we all understand each other. We're all tossed out sometimes, but we are kept in separate places usually.
Sounds good.
And sometimes you all come together, so
can't imagine in the context of that metaphor what I would be. So
you could be any kind of
trash
that you want.
Thank you.
Believe in yourself.
I appreciate it.
Be the trash you want to be.
Yes. Believe in yourself.
Maybe I would be like the bins.
Aww. Oh, that's, yeah. You help contain the chaos. Do you?
Sure.
Do you do that?
I feel like I help to play supportive roles. So I hold people in little bins.
Love it. All right, let's pause. Okay, we just... just collecting my thoughts. We just took a break. Sorry, it's really hard.
We've been having a lot of great conversations here, so we just had
a lot of conversations like about trash and stuff that won't be reflected in this podcast. And so this transition is really hard because we just went from a couple hours ago, we talked to Elias a few hours ago, and then we had Ruben, who gave this really cool calligraphy workshop where he explored a lot of the similarities between Hebrew and Arabic and how you can show that within the calligraphy context, and it was really beautiful. And then Ra'id, the guy that talked on the podcast yesterday, he had another film screening of the film 74. Ellie, can you talk a little about that?
Okay, so back in 74, the American University of Beirut was occupied by students who had demands, and it was complicated, to say the least. But I think we've covered that anything that happens in the Middle East is fundamentally complicated. So go check the Wikipedia article, but basically the movie sort of covered the infighting and politics surrounding it. And it was super cool because one of the things about it was unscripted. Basically, all the actors were already activists in their own right who were told to go research these people and the circumstances, and they just played it out with no lines and direction. Well, some direction, but no real script. Well, they had it. It was sort of like a script. It was a historical script, but it was just really fascinating to see because it sort of... It showed the sort of devolution and infighting that almost every, like, leftist group that I've ever been a part of eventually gets into. And I saw, it's like, and everyone there seemed to have echoed it somewhat. Like, I saw it with the Students United for Peace in the run-up of the Iraq War under Bush. Then someone else talked about Occupy Wall Street and how that happened. And one of the points brought up was how Westerners never learn our history, but we also have a hard time learning our own history, even with our revolutionary failures, as well publicized as this. So it was really cool. Hopefully we'll be able to get a link to this movie. If not, I'm sorry.
So anyone else in the room who saw the film, if anyone wants to talk about it?
I've talked a lot on...
We need you.
Okay. Hey.
Nadia, here.
I think the film was... it was like a really... It felt really real to student activism and the way personalities and politics kind of fall apart in those rooms. And also the way that no one can exactly tell how important what they're doing is and to what extent it's like just a student protest and to what extent it's like connected to outside political events. And also just like the pacing of the movie kind of got like... Just like the energy of those movements where it starts out like very excited and then it kind of blows up and then like... It like everyone gets tired, it kind of stretches on, and I thought that kind of pacing was really captured.
There's probably a lot of tension, but like that grows internally, right?
Yeah, tension, but also just like I think that's an issue with like revolutions and political movements in general. It's that like it's hard to keep up that energy forever,
yeah. And like people you technically on the same side of things still get into it with each other.
Yeah.
It's like inevitable human nature.
Yeah, both like in terms of like ideological conflicts, and just like when you put that many people in a room together,
yeah,
people have issues. We talked about like misogynistic dynamics that come up in a lot of those leftist movements, like socialist bros.
Oh God.
Yeah. Socialist bros talking down to women in movements who might have, like, there was one character who was very much like centrist liberal-y and was criticized for that, but also like criticized in a pretty like misogynistic, condescending way. So the ways like personal dynamics and politics kind of like rub up against each other.
Yeah. Good insight. Yeah. Can either of you expand more on socialist bros? I've actually never heard that phrase.
All right. Actually, I think you may have a fresher take on this than I do.
Either. I don't know.
Just like, they are, how do I put this? Like,
well, we could just talk about the Bernie Bros and how
Bernie
that.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
The content of what they're saying is very progressive leftist ideas. The way they're using it is to imply that they're smarter than you and know more than you and don't need to listen to you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I get a clear picture of the type.
Yeah.
I'm so woke, and who are you to criticize my wokeness?
Yes.
Right.
It's depressing.
Because, like, being woke can clearly only take one shape and be only for certain people, like men who are white.
Yes. How dare your feeble female brain doesn't get my wokeness.
We can never understand.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're just one of those feminazis, aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Which is far less funny now that actual Nazis are back into politics, but I digress.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's end this on this depressing
let's
note.
Let's pause right here. Okay, right now we are with the legendary Lebanese mafia.
I wouldn't say legendary, but thank you so much.
Thank you for
my name is Hilal Khalil, and thank you so much for coming here. We're here at the Mark for Redaction, Alamat Tanqih, and we're in the Habibi room. Envisioned by Noor Walloud, who's in Detroit right now. We miss you, Noor. And thanks so much for being here and for being in the space.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your kind invitation.
Yeah. Thank you for having us. We're so glad we got to connect at Yalapunk.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I got to be real with you all.
Do it.
I got to be real.
We got emotionally prepared for this earlier.
So I literally saw them. They're like, oh, there's a Queer Arabs podcast. They're like, here. And I'm like to Bashad, I'm like, what is going on? Like, what is this?
Who
the fuck are these people? Like, not like that I'm haters or anything. It was like, we have been brought up to like be super scared of like any fucking like organization. Like after a gay girl in Syria, that was a fucking white man. God. It's like
fucking disaster.
Fucking informants. Fucking like organizations being funded by like Zionist organizations. You know,
I'm
like super. Like I can't even trust people. It wasn't that I wasn't like, oh, who are they? Like, are they Arab? I was like, who the fuck are they? Like, what is their deal? So then I had to, I sent a friend to go and like ask y'all questions and scope you out. And then they came back to us and said that y'all were cool. And then,
oh my God.
Yeah, isn't that's so fucked up that we think that way and how we police each other without even knowing, like without even just like by passing a judgment based on like what you called your podcast, you know, not even knowing your names.
No, but it's that's the society we've had to fucking deal with. Like the gay girl in Syria, I felt so close to that blog and I got so invested emotionally and all this stuff. Like, I think we even messaged each other once on Facebook.
My God.
Like, it was so creepy. And then we found out, it's this fucking creepy ass fuck in Edinburgh or wherever, somewhere in Scotland. Like,
using the gay girl in Syria narrative to like get all this attention. And Lena Dunham, I hope, doesn't do that. So this is totally different, but in a way, it's like someone using someone else's struggle to like further get some fame or get some attention or money or whatever,
or market themselves.
And that's what I'm talking about, like queerness as currency. You know, where artists are using their queerness. Mashrou Leila, example, like they're using that to promote their work, either as queer artist or as queer art. And that's something that we did not want in Mark for Redaction. Mm-hmm. For example, like even though the artists here are self-identified queer people, and trans and gender non-conforming folks as well, I didn't really ask people like their backgrounds. I didn't really dive into it because I wanted the art to speak for themselves. And I wanted people to be recognized not only for the struggles they've been through, but also that it's fucking amazing art, you know?
Yeah.
And it, you don't need to use your identity to sell your work. The work will, you know, it speaks for itself.
That's, I love that.
That, and if you walk in here, you'd be like, yeah, this art's pretty fucking gay. In the best way.
Yeah, yeah, like you, I mean, the art, all you need is the art to get so many messages. You don't need, like, yeah, someone doesn't have to be standing by it and saying, like, hey, look at me, I'm queer. So I get what you're saying.
It's like, please score me very high with these minority points that I am presenting to you, the audience.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we're having these conversations here, because that's, like, really the spirit of Habibi Room, and it's more intimate, and also, we're really, you know, dealing with, you know, we're being real with each other, and we're making mistakes. We had an Allies Night last Friday, led by Camelia Youssef, which was amazing.
Yeah.
We had this dancer come, and was, you know, came in, wanted to be a part of it, and they asked if they could interact with the art through dance. And I was like, yeah, that's a great way for an ally to, like, appreciate art. And she was, a professional, you know, modern dancer. And then she just came in, and, like, for 10 minutes, she was just, like, dancing in this space and, like, really appreciating the art through dance and how each piece made her feel. So it was a really great Allies night where we talked about, you know, queer utopias. So it was really amazing.
Cool. Can you talk about when you say queer utopias, what came up?
We were talking about like this, like it's important, you know, for, we were talking about like, you know, I was utopia dead, this idea that, you know, utopia is not attainable. But I think for, you know, people, like us, like a queer utopia, you know, POC utopia, like our vision, our dreams, like this space, being here in this space, like this is, you know, a little bit, you know, a little taste of that community.
I mean, we've got a lesbian couple interviewing people in a artist space that's also very queer, and no one feels odd or awkward about it. Like, I am not afraid to hold my girlfriend's hand in a public space. That, in an Arab space, and that's, like, so fucking cool. I can't deal with it.
So cool. Do you know, also, do you hear those drums?
That's
what's this about to happen. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to introduce a dear friend.
Sophia.
Sophia. Yeah.
Hi.
Flower Punk.
I guess that's what I call myself sometimes.
That's your Instagram.
You might want to get closer to the mic.
Oh, no, it's fine. Whatever it's comfortable for you. Yeah. I think this will pick up the drum.
Does it sound okay?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, we're good.
I just want to say that Sophia came to one of my salons and surprised me, and I was like, you know, and there's always that one person that comes, there's that one artist that comes to the salons, I've noticed, like as a surprise, And I was like, and Sophia came and I was like, oh my God, you're here. I want to hear you perform. And then you were like, oh, only if I have a guitar. And I'm like, I have a guitar, of course. Wow. I was like, can you want to go like practice and, you know, like join the lineup? And now Sophia's back here at...
Thank you for making these spaces where I can do that. It really means a lot, honestly.
Oh, thank you. It means a lot that you're here. Cuando empezó a esclarecer y ya hermosa y sin ventura nunca llegué a nacer y ya hermosa y sin ventura nunca llegué a nacer mis dos ojos se me tanto ir a la mar favoritos van y vienen de esta para mí no hay
Music is a participatory activity.
I'll take it if no one wants it. I don't need tambourine more, but...
You don't have to... It's not... You're not hoarding. Okay. Go for it. Do your thing.
It's so beautiful, this
it's
tambourine.
It's really pretty. Hit it. See how it sounds. Shake it. You can hit it harder than that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, wait, but I need to find the beat of this. So this song is a specifically Tunisian Jewish folk song about a saint called Sidi Mansour, like asking, you heard of it?
Yeah, but I didn't know it was Sidi Mansour comes from, I mean, I don't know its history, I didn't know it was a traditional folk song.
Yeah, that's what I know. I asked my friend who lives in LA who like does Sephardic music
mm-hmm.
for like all the time,
mm-hmm.
they're like a oud player and stuff,
oh.
I was like, give me your Tunisian Jewish stuff, like, what do you have for me? And they sent me this, and I already kind of knew it, so it's, I'm going to need your help, though.
Okay.
So, this is how the chorus goes, and I want to try to sing this together. So, it goes like this, hold on. Allah, Allah, ya Baba, wa salam alayki, ya Baba.
Allah, Allah, ya Baba, wa
salam alayki, ya
Baba.
Allah, Allah, ya Baba, wa
salam alayki, ya Baba.
Allah, Allah, ya Baba, wa
salam alayki, ya Baba.
So that's a, ya Baba, when you can do it. Which means all the whole world is a very narrow bridge, and the key is not to be afraid. So that's the one song that I have. And then the other one is the Yiddish song of the partisans during the Shoah, that is about taking up arms and, like, fighting against fascism.
Yeah.
Is what it's about. Is really what it's about. And, like, fighting against these oppressive forces. So I want to ask for which one y'all want to hear first, because I don't know which one I should play first. I was tending towards the partisan song, but what do we think?
Personally? Yeah.
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 No.
I'm going to need the tambourine.
I mean, don't let us dominate the conversation. Anyone wants to sing? Now do the other
one. I love being injured all the time. It's so fun. Just kidding. I hate it so much. Normally I would have a guitar, but I've never like performed with a drum like this before. This is my first
venture into percussion.
Amazing.
And you sound really comfortable.
Yeah, I like have good rhythm, but it's very rudimentary. But it is the rhythm.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's not something I never really explored before, but now I have the tools.
Is it easier for you to play with the drums instead of the guitar?
It's just less strenuous on my hands. Like, it's still, like, you know, I'm using my hands. There's nothing for which I can't, but guitar is like, I just have to refine my technique.
Yeah.
I, like, tense too much when I hold the neck, and I need to learn how to relax and play, but I haven't gotten there yet. But that is going to happen at some point. Anyway, this is Zognit Kainmol. I'm going to do part of it in Yiddish and part of it in English, and it's basically about people's war. Zognit Kainmol as du bist im letzten Weg, Choshim Leweine verstell im bläue Tag. Kommen weg noch unser ausgebänkte Schor, S'wetter beugt und unser Trotz mir seinen Dor. Kommen weg noch unser ausgebänkte Schor, S'wetter beugt und unser Trotz mir seinen Dor. From lands of green palm trees to lands all white with snow, we are coming with our pain and with our woe. And for everywhere our comrades but did flirt, our courage and our strength will blossom from the dirt. And for everywhere our comrades but did flirt, our courage and our strength will blossom from the dirt. Svette morgens und bagild in unserem Feind, und der Nächten wird schwarz blinden mit dem Feind. Nur versammeln wird die Sonne beim Kajor, wie Aparoso gehen das Licht von Sozidor. Nur versammeln wird die Sonne in dem Kajor, wie Aparoso gehen das Licht von Sozidor. This song was written with our blood and not with lead. It's not a little tune that birds sing overhead. This song of people sang amidst collapsing walls. With pistols in their hands, they heeded to the call. This song of people sang amidst collapsing walls. With pistols in their hands, they heeded to the call. So never say that you are on your final road. Though lead-filled skies may overshadow skies of blue, the hour for which we have been hungering is here. The earth shall tremble neath our tread that we are here. The hour for which we have been hungering is near. The earth shall tremble neath our tread, mir seinen Dorn. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
that was like my first. I mean, that's one thing I meant to bring up. I love the. I just love. Yeah, your voice in general is really getting to me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
People always say that, and I'm not 100% sure what they mean, but I'm always like, okay.
Thanks. I just put it into words.
Wow.
To think like all of our like Lebanon and like Tunisia and
and like Egypt, like coming together, like we would only like ever, it's so weird that we came to meet in this point. And like that's how I'm feeling right now. And like the fact that you're playing like Sephardic music in like North Africa and like the, you know, it's just so weird and like surreal.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome.
Like, did you ever like think this would happen, you know?
Yeah.
Like thinking back to like our erasure of like our culture and stuff.
Yeah, I think it is really valuable that we can have these spaces to share and continue these traditions. I don't know, I was also thinking last weekend during the same conversation that when I was studying about like theologians and philosophers in the Middle Ages in like Sephardi Jewish North African Iberian region, part of what my professor stressed was that like it was common practice for most of our history for like Muslims and Jews and Christians and like people from all different religious and ethnic backgrounds throughout this region that we don't really know what to call,
mm-hmm.
that we're all from, who came together and exchanged ideas, which is why there's a lot of like interwoven similarities and differences and diversities and different like communications and correlations. It's surreal, but it's also like also what we've been doing for millennia, literally. Anyway, yeah, this is a really nice song. It's from the Baal Shem Tov, who is actually the quote is from the Baal Shem Tov, who is actually the founder of Hasidism as like a sect of Judaism.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, there's like a whole, I'm not gonna, I mean, unless you want me to, I could get into the differences and the what that means, but I don't have to. I'll share the info. Why not? I don't want to feel like I don't want you to feel lectured at, but I like to.
Yeah, please.
This is part of the performance. Oh, lol. Duh. I forgot for a second. What the fuck was I saying? Oh yeah, the Baal Shem Tov was the founder of Hasidism, which is like a sect of Judaism, which like. His ideas and like his the traditions that came from his teachings are very focused around like joy, which is why like there's like I don't know, it's complicated to explain. It was like a movement and like in like the late Middle Ages, I think, where like they were more, I don't know, maybe I don't know as much as I thought. the focus is on joy. That's all I remember. And it's very, like, religious. There's, like, still these communities of, like, very, like, orthodox religious Hasidim of varying degrees to, like, very patriarchal and like, suppressive to, like, not so much that, you know, but still in some ways. Cultures, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. Anyway.
It's a trip.
It really is a trip. It's a whole journey.
Humans,
right?
Humans are weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I need more water.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you so much.
Big shout out to Donna.
Yes.
Who's like here every Thursday, holding down the fort. Dealing with everything and putting up art and really making sure that everything is great. Really helps out so much with the show. So thank you so much, Donna. Really.
I highly agree. Donna's the best.
Sophia, is this one okay to record?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
That's the thing about